But today's speaker is going to also present today's reading. And so I'm going to introduce her once, and she will take it from here. Last fall, I had the privilege of meeting Katie Geer, and it was the initial meeting was kind of interesting because she was volunteering to do some work for the stewardship campaign, and she gave me her email address. And her email address is Saint Katie. And so Saint Katie now is coming to talk to us about atheism. It's an interesting turn of events, but as you get to know Katie, and I hope you all will do that, she is a very interesting woman with a whole host of things going on in her life and a whole host of talents. The auction committee was absolutely multiplied in our capabilities because of the benefits that she brought to us, and we look forward to those things happening all across the fellowship. So without saying anything else, let me introduce our speaker this morning, Katie Geer.
Yes? But that's okay, I can do it. I actually became Saint Katie when I was a slam poet in Arizona, mostly for poems that had nothing to do with being a saint. Okay, so I'm going to start with a reading today. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's really, really long, but this is an excerpt from God is a Verb by Buckminster Fuller. Buckminster Fuller was a designer, an inventor, a visionary, a poet, and a Unitarian. He was actually the grandson of a Unitarian minister. And so the poem's title is God is a Verb. For God, to me, it seems, is a verb, not a noun, proper or improper, is the articulation, not the art, objective or subjective, is loving, not the abstraction, love, commanded or entreated, is knowledge dynamic, not legislative code, not proclamation law, not academic dogma or ecclesiastic canon. Yes, God is a verb, the most active, connoting the vast harmonic, reordering the universe from unleashed chaos of energy. Okay, mostly because I'm a teacher and I'm really, really bad at standing still in front of a classroom. I do an awful lot of walking. I usually end up behind the class and make them, like, turn around. I'll try not to do that to you. So I offered to talk today about atheist spirituality, as in it's really great for me to be able to be both. But a lot of people don't understand or don't have a really good grasp of how that might work. They think they must be two different things, when really they're all one thing as far as I'm concerned. So we'll see how we do. The lights? Okay, so that's me. And a note on credentials for this talk, I don't have any. I am an engineer, I'm a teacher, I'm a computer repair person and a knitter, I'm a whole lot of things. But an expert on anything I'm about to say, I am not. So first, what is an atheist? This is one of those ones that doesn't have a really great definition. Like most things in the world, atheism exists on a spectrum of belief, right? So even just trying to figure out what an atheist is, way over on this side, you've got polytheists who believe in a heck of a lot of gods. Some people, hundreds. I don't even know how you keep track of all their names. And then the majority of Christianity kind of falls in this monotheist spot, some sort of one god, bunch of different names. It might look a little different, but they think there's one. Then you have agnostics, right? Anyone know what an agnostic is? Probably are a bunch of you. So agnostics maybe don't say, yes, there is a God, but they also don't say, no, there's not a God. They say, yeah, there could be. Not really sure. working on it, right? I think a lot of Unitarians land right there. And then one more step down the spectrum, you have atheists. And kind of the tagline for atheists, right, is that they disbelieve or actively don't believe in a God. But even when we look at atheists, there's a big spectrum, right? So we have kind of the I personally don't believe in a God atheists. I don't say anything about anyone else. I personally haven't found one to believe in, and that's where I'm gonna be comfortable. And then kind of moving towards the greater extreme, we have ones that say, no, I know for sure that there is no God, and anyone that believes in one is just wrong. And then if you keep going, we say, not only is there no God, there are no spiritual beings, there's none of this fuzzy stuff, there's no ghosts, there's no spirits, there's no fairies, there's no dragons, nothing. And I didn't even put this one up here, but you got one more step towards the extreme, who say, not only is there no funny business like that, but they kind of campaign for actively educating that there is no such thing. And they believe that it's their responsibility to erase those sorts of beliefs from everywhere else in the world. Every group has an extremist, right? So I'm more over here myself. I'm happy on this side. I may not have a belief in God, but if you do, I don't have a problem with that. And I certainly am a big fan of scientific inquiry, right? I haven't seen any proof to disprove anything, so I'm not going to reject other people's beliefs. Okay. Okay, so what is atheism not? It's not a belief system. It's hard to make a belief system founded on not believing in something. It's not a religion. I think a lot of times it gets treated like a religion. It's like all the atheists kind of get together and talk about what they do and don't believe. Definitely not the case. It's not consistent. It's not well-defined. Most people who kind of identify as atheists came to it more or less on their own, not in an organized fashion. And so when you come to all those things on your own, it's going to be a little different for everybody in the room. And it's definitely not well-defined. I'm a researcher at heart, so I did internet research before putting this together, right? And even just your top 10, like, hits of what is atheism, none of them agree. So if the internet can't agree on, well, they can't agree on anything. Never mind. It's also not anti-religion. And I think atheism kind of gets a bad rap in that way. They think, oh, if you're an atheist, you don't believe in God, you don't believe in church, you don't think anyone else can have a religion or a God or a church, and that's just not true. As noted by being an atheist in an active church, right? Okay. It's just one part of a set of beliefs. It doesn't have to define everything, and it certainly doesn't want to eliminate community. There we go. Okay, so back to the big picture, right? So that was atheism way over on this side. And now we're going to forget about all that for a minute and talk about what the heck is spirituality on the other side and then hopefully bring them together. So spirituality, now that we are ignoring that whole atheism bit, originally meant animated by God. So it was a term coined based on biblical revelations of beings or people or plants or anything that were animated by God, and that was considered spiritual, as in imbued with spirit. So then in the 13th century, scholars kind of recoined the term to make it the realm of the inner life, but it still had a really, really strong Christian, specifically connotation to it. So it was about your personal relationship with God and your personal relationship with his teachings from the Bible. In the 1800s, it started widening out a little bit and started being about kind of that search for truth, search for meaning, and didn't necessarily have to do anymore with Christianity or a monotheistic God in particular. It was more about that quest, right? That free and responsible search for truth and meaning. That's how it was redefined and became known commonly, right? I personally don't think, spiritual means I'm necessarily talking to a thing that is so animated by God that it's talking back. It's not what spirituality means to me. Okay, so what can it be? Unitarians usually have a pretty good grasp on what spirituality means. We do a lot of things as part of our community and part of our form of worship that have to do with being spiritual. So it can be belief in life energy and karma. You can access your sense of spirituality through meditation, certainly through prayer, through interacting with your community. A lot of people say they have that sense of spirituality when they are volunteering or when they're giving. You get that rush of joy from giving, right? And so it's a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But overall, it's always that search for truth and meaning in yourself, right? Maybe your sense of spirituality does have to do with God, or maybe it has nothing to do with it whatsoever, and your sense of spirituality comes from the spirit of your community. So one of the cool things that speakers get to do is they get to choose the hymns of the day, right? So choosing Spirit of Life was really, really easy for me for a couple of reasons. One, if we're talking about the Spirit of Life, right? Kind of a given fit. And then second, I actually grew up in the UU Church in California in the East Bay in Berkeley, Kensington. And that was our recessional song every day. I just love it. It's a really, really good one, right? Then they said, you can choose a second one if we want to do a second hymn. And then there was like 12 tying for second place. I'm like, well, we'd spend our entire time singing and I wouldn't get to do any talking, which would be fun, but maybe not what I promised to do. Okay, so does anybody in here, because I'm all about audience involvement, have a spiritual practice that I did not include on my really short bullet list they think is important? Yeah.
Well, I think a number of us have spiritual practices that involve nature in some way, because that's the most basic hit of spirit that I can think of.
I could not agree more. That is definitely when I feel the most spiritual. I just got back from a three-day camping trip with the Cub Scouts, and when they were not all screaming, I could definitely look up at the trees and feel that connection to the world, to, you know, the plants, the trees, the animals, other people. Screaming maybe deafened it out a little bit, but, you know, when they were quiet at night, definitely got it back.
I've always wondered if we could, you know, make a pitch for the addition to the principles and the sources, you know, music and art and theater and those types of expression and comedy. I don't know why, but I still think there's a room for comedy in our principles.
I think you get some of the best connection with other people hearing their comedy, especially because some of it is so personal. I think you could definitely make a good argument for the spirit of community coming through in comedy, and definitely music. My favorite part about Unitarian groups is how much we sing. I love that.
I've recently discovered traveling.
I wish I could travel. Maybe when my kid is big and has gone off to college.
So about a month ago, many of you know that my nephew was in this horrible car accident and lost a leg. And I started to have this really amazing spiritual awakening. And my son, Wilson, who is, thank God, in the nursery right now, he talks to spirit every night. And they talk back to him, and it's really freaky because then he will tell me these stories that I'm like, how is this possible that you actually can have conversations with dead people? So that's been an kind of amazing awakening.
I have an awesome story about my little sister freaking us all out one Easter talking to spirits, but I'll tell you guys that one later.
Thank you. We had a speaker here several years ago. He's a professor at Portland State, I believe. Anyway, he described spirituality as the ability to see yourself and others. In other words, a degree of empathy was how he described spirituality. And I kind of bought on to that. It's the ability, it has to do with that big web of life and understanding that we're just peace and everybody else is too.
I think the more you see yourself in others, the more vested you are in everyone doing well, right? Because you can look at every other person on the planet and say, if I want to do well, I should want everyone to do well because that person is just like me in this way, that person is just like me in this way, and I want us all to do really well. Okay, so I know you all have way better ideas, but I think I'm almost out of time, so I'm going to try and rush through. Okay, so we have atheism. We have spirituality. Mostly, we haven't come up with any ways they necessarily don't get along. Here we go. So how does this look for you use? So first we have our principles, right? Those are the things that we refer back to really get that sense of continuity within our particular faith. So here are our principles. The only one that you ever really need to even think about, right? So inherent worth and dignity, nothing to do with atheism there. Justice, equality, and compassion, no conflict. Free and responsible search for truth and meaning, well, that's kind of what we defined it as, so we're good there too. Right of conscience, world community, interdependent web. So the only one that you could even maybe argue a sticking point for is the acceptance of one another. We're okay there. But the encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. So that spiritual growth part, sometimes people are like, well, if atheists don't believe in spirit, how can they be for spiritual growth? And that's where I just think we have to take a look at what we define as spiritual, right? Because I can be a really, really strong, devout atheist and still be all for meditation and community and wanting to love nature and love one another. Okay. Okay, and practically, we do a lot of this stuff already, right? This is kind of what makes Unitarianism Unitarianism to me, is a lot of those spiritual practices that we all kind of actively pursue and think about in our daily lives, which aren't really in any conflict with either a sense of being an atheist or a sense of being spiritual. Okay, and now a footnote. Why might this be important? Why should we care? Atheists can believe whatever they want. We can believe whatever we want, right? Yes, that's true. We've heard many speakers over the last 6 months talk about the worry that Unitarian Universalism is dying out and is not growing in numbers in the way that we might hope it to. So if you look at the Pew Research Group, this is an Oregon study from last year, 1% of Oregon people identify as Unitarian or Unitarian Universalists, which is not a lot. 31% identify as unaffiliated, 5% atheist, 8% agnostic, 18% marked nothing in particular. So given how much we have in common, right, between these two groups, there's no reason we can't reach out to them. Now, I hate people that come up here and say, here's what we should be doing, and then give us no practical way to do it whatsoever. But I have no practical way to do this whatsoever. I can certainly identify the need and the opportunity that might be had if we can, like, you know, go press as a we're welcoming of spiritual atheists and spiritual agnostics. There is no conflict for you in our principles, and this is the community you've been looking for, because we're really good at doing that community part. But I don't know how to get that message out. Okay, and I finished on time. Yeah.
Okay, we have about 10 minutes for questions and comments. So, are you ready? Okay.
Thank you. The word spiritual has the root spire, which means to breathe. And I think that's all we need to know. Everybody who breathes is spiritual, whether they admit it or not.
I would very much agree. I think that, so one of the things that I've always felt a little bit conflicted about, right, and one of the reasons I offered to do this today was when people ask me what my religion is, sometimes I say Unitarian Universalist, and sometimes I say atheist. It's not that I think those two things are separate, but which one I answer depends on which type of question I think someone is asking. If they're asking, do you believe in God, I say, okay, I'm an atheist. If they're asking, do you belong to a religious community, I say, I'm a Unitarian Universalist. Sometimes I add it with the other one, right? And I say, well, I'm an atheist, but I'm also a Unitarian.
Okay. When you were saying the sticking point of the encouragement to spiritual growth, I take the spiritual as the definition of the inner life, which encompasses the intellectual and the emotional. And we all strive to increase our IQ and our EQ, our being able to handle things intellectually and emotionally. So that's...
I totally agree, and I personally have no sticking point on that one whatsoever. But especially as you move towards that more extreme side of the spectrum that I had up there, people who were saying, not only is there no God, but there are no spirits, there are no, right? So sometimes just the verbiage can be their sticking point, not necessarily the way we enact it. People get very hung up on words.
I wonder if the large turnout today has something to do with how the most of us feel about this issue. Personally, I have a little, the baggage with that goes along with spirituality gives me a little trouble. But I have the word with the same root, inspirational, which I can handle a lot more easily. And this involves the affective response to any number of things, the awe and reverence and any other kind of affective response that we have to things that are in the real natural world.
Absolutely. I don't think anybody anywhere in the world will stand up and say, I don't want to be inspired, right? That would be a really weird comment. And yeah, there's a large guest turnout today. I really hope I did you guys justice. I'm not a usual speaker here, so, you know, cut me some slack.
Katie, you're perfect for the job. I have often identified myself in introductions as a born Unitarian who was unfortunately born into a Missouri Synod Lutheran family. I have never thought of myself as a Christian, nor have I ever thought of myself as an atheist. I believe very strongly in the spirit of life. I am so happy to hear you say what you've been saying, and of course that song is one of my very favorites. But it is life. I have encountered too much in these years I've been on this planet to not know that I am part of something larger than just myself. And so Spirit of Life is where I'm at with that. Thank you so much. You've done a beautiful job of explaining this. Thank you.
I just want to thank you for that challenge of speaking publicly to that. Excuse me. I, about 5 years, was diagnosed with a disease that's probably going to take me away from this earth someday. And at that point in time, it was a challenge to say, oh my gosh, now I have to deal with my mortality. And it's something that I had never dealt with all my life. I mean, I'm not a religious person. I did not attend church. I don't know that I believed that there was a God, as you described today. And all of a sudden, I'm scared because I see that circle of life ending, which is what I believe in, is the circle of life. And so it's been a journey. It continues to be a journey. But I was always afraid to say the word atheist or agnostic. I felt so intimidated that I was going to say to the wrong person, and they were going to say, oh, no, you're all wrong. We've got to convert you right today. And felt very bad about that. And so I hovered in my little corner. And I'll bet you there's just a lot of people out there that do the same thing because they're afraid to come out to actually admit what their belief system is. So thank you so much. I came today because of the topic of the sermon, like the lady suggested.
Thanks. The identifying with the word, right? It's kind of a harsh word. It's got a lot of connotation to going along with it, and it was definitely part of me saying, yes, I am an atheist, was this idea of atheist spirituality. I can reject a one controlling God, but still like all of that, like we all get along in nature and there is a spirit of life. It doesn't have to be one or the other. I don't have to pick like that, right? That's one of the things I love about Unitarian Universalism, is that it's that evolving idea of what you personally find as your truth right now. And my truth does not involve a one being, but it does involve all that spiritual stuff. So marrying the two together was important to me.
So I'm an engineer, so I'm a numbers man. The numbers that you posted for Oregon, is that reflective also across America and the world?
So I looked at the American numbers also because they did have that. And if you want, I have a link, or you can search Pew Research Group, religious, I don't know, I'll have to look for it. It's pretty close nationally. We're actually under 1%. For Unitarian Universalists, and nationally, the unaffiliated atheist, agnostic, and nothing in particular group is at about 23%. So nationally, 23%, and even few, like Oregon, has a slightly higher Unitarian concentration than the nation at large.
Well, I get the privilege of asking or making a comment and honoring my beautiful daughter and her speech. So, one of the things I remember from growing up in Berkeley in the congregation that Kitty and I grew up in is the joke, to echo David Lucas' comment about comedy, is that when one does enter the possibility of those pearly gates of heaven and is met with a fork in the road where there is a clear path to entering the divine state of heaven, whatever that may be, and the alternative is to an eternal conversation and dialogue and discussion about whether heaven exists, Unitarians always choose the debate and the discussion and the argument. While I think that's very true and we can all laugh at ourselves, I also think these are the kinds of things we just need to remind ourselves that the ultimate goal is to be compassionate and open-minded and inclusionary. So thank you for that.
I don't have a good comment to follow that one. Thanks, Mom.
I really like the concept of coming out an atheist or a non-believer. I was very new to UU when I first came to Portland, and I was in a class of Chinese brush painting, and the teacher, just out of the clear blue sky, asked me if I was a Christian, and I had never been asked that before, and I said no, and it felt so good for me to admit and say out loud that I was not a Christian. Then my next coming out was saying to myself, I guess I'm an atheist. And that just felt so freeing to me. It, you know, just coming out felt so good.
I definitely spent a while saying, oh, well, I'm an agnostic. I don't really know. There could be a something, there could not. Now, well, you know, I finally had one of those self-evaluation moments, and I'm like, no, I know what I believe in. It's not that.
When I was in early grade school, my mother insisted that I go to church every Sunday, which is okay with me. But I sat and counted the panes in the stained glass window, and I found it very boring. But it was okay. I liked to be with my grandmother. Well, one day, I was about five, and I told, it wasn't grade school, I had told my mother, I said, Marilyn, my friend down the street, doesn't believe in Santa Claus. He's not going to bring her anything, is he? And my mother said, who usually told the truth very good. My mother, oh, and I thought, that's how it is. So at that point, I decided that all this stuff I couldn't prove. I didn't believe it. I wasn't interested in it. And my wife, who is much smarter than I am, a year or so ago, mentioned to me that my spirituality is music, and that really hit me, because music can just grab me. I can be driving a car or something, it just brings tears to my eyes. Mostly classical music, but all kinds of music, jazz, rock. And it has nothing to do with God or spirituality, and I don't know anything about God.
Absolutely. The best way for me to change my mood, like, instantly is music. Like, if I'm having just that rotten day or something is stressing me out, music is absolutely what I turn to. Some people turn to prayer to pull them out of that. Some people read scripture to pull them out of that, and I too turn on music.
We have time for one last question.
Comment. years ago, here at WOOF, I said, you know, I'm not at all religious. And someone said, but you're the most spiritual person I know. And to me, I had to think about that, but it's what you do, it's what you show as to whether or not you're spiritual.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there is that, I don't know, I've almost felt like sometimes, especially in like really kind of liberal communities, if I identify as a churchgoer, even a Unitarian churchgoer, people are like, oh, you're one of those religious people. And we're like, no, but you don't, never mind.
Okay, please join me in thanking